Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Yud Het. Today's daf is being studied in the Mishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terechenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Therefore, Ashilema Dina Batzara. Vegam.
Violet Gilson.
Violet Gilson. Bat
Sophia.
Sophia. Enna Refanadahem. Fata Nefesh Ufata Guf. Fuatam Karabalabo. Vechen Yerasom Alamar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Zayin Amud Bet. And we are starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Just to review, to set up today's daf, we learned on yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon made a derasha from a pasuk, and from his derasha he learned many halachot. He learned a law, for example, by Bikurim. The law he learned by Bikurim is that if a person eats the Bikurim, even a kohen eats the Bikurim before they made the recitation, before they read the special pesukim, so the Bishamon said, you get makot. He had another derasha. He learned the chiddush by, let's go in order of his derashot. He had a chiddush by Bikurim. He had a chiddush by Bechor. Bechor, he came along and said, that what? That it's asur to eat it by a zar. A stranger would eat the Bechor, so also he's going to be Hayav Balkut. When he came to Todan Shilamim, the Korban Todan Shilamim, he said if you eat it before Zirikat Adam, if you eat the Korban before they sprinkle the blood, he's also going to be Hayav Malkut. When he came to Hatat Ve'asham, he came along and said, if you eat it after Zirikat Adam, but outside of the walls, you're going to be Hayav. When he came to Korban Olah, he said, even if it's after Zirikat Adam, even if it's, let's say, inside the wall, but eating it in general, because it is indeed a korban ola, so therefore it's asur achila bichlal. So basically, he learned from the pesukim all these laws. Only problem is, he learned these laws using a kal vachomer, because these words, the pasuk actually was not coming to say any of these things. It doesn't talk about reading about Bikurim. It doesn't talk about in the pasuk Zirikat Adam at all. It doesn't say nothing. All the pasuk is talking about, you're not allowed to eat these items outside the wall of Jerusalem. Lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. That's all the pasuk is saying. But he came along and said, I don't need it to teach me that, because I have a kal vachomer. And if what? My ma'aser, which is lenient, and you can't eat it outside the walls. So by these other items that are more stringent, certainly you can't eat it out the walls. So the pasuk is not coming to teach me eating in the walls. Ela, pasuk must be coming to teach me another application of this law. Only problem is, we have a rule. You're allowed to make kal vachomer. That's not a problem. Kal vachomer is one of the 13 ways that we analyze Torah. Problem is, for every Avon that's punishable by Malkut or punishable by Mitat Bedin, you need a warning. You need an Azhara. Azhara basically means the Torah saying, don't do this. Lo ta'aseh zeh. That's the warning. And we have a rule that everybody agrees to. En mazhirin min haddin. You're not a warning that is derived from a kal vachomer is not considered a warning, which means in order to get a punishment, it's got to be explicit. And these isurim that Rabbi Shimon learned are not explicit at all. He derived them through the kal vachomer. So therefore, how can Rabbi Shimon come along and say, you're going to get malkut for all these things? What are you talking? Where's the azhara? Where's the warning pasuk? What do you mean, where's the warning pasuk? I just told you it's from a kal vachomer. We have a rule, ed mazirin min adin. So therefore, that's the question the Gemara begins with. Gemara starts off and says, "V'chi mazirin min adin? Do we make a azhara from a kal vachomer? Din means a kal vachomer. ha'afilu leman damar onshin min hadin. Even according to the opinion that says that you're allowed to punish from a kal vachomer, there's a famous machloket when it comes to are you allowed to punish based on a kal vachomer. The famous example is the sister. When the Torah talks about the isur of going with a sister, so the pasuk talks about you cannot go with your maternal sister, nor can you go with your paternal sister. But the Torah, and it says if you go with this, one of the sisters, hayav karet. But the Torah doesn't talk about a full sister. So the Gemara says, it's kavah omer. If a person is going to get karet on a half sister, certainly he's going to get karet on a full sister. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not good, because you can't give a punishment from a kavah omer. So that's one opinion. So therefore we have to generate another pasuk to show me full sister. Other rabbi says, no, onshin min adin, you're allowed to bring a punishment from a kavah omer, so therefore the kavah omer is fine. So there's a machloket by punishing from a kal vachomer, but warning from a kal vachomer, everybody holds you need a warning. You need to create the lo ta'aseh. It's got to be explicit. So that's what the Gemara says. Even afilu leman damar onshin min adin, even according to the opinion that says onshin min adin, you're allowed to punish from a kal vachomer and mazini min adin, but you're not allowed to give a warning pasuk from a kal vachomer. So how then did Rabbi Shimon come along and say that in all these cases you're going to be hayav malkut? They're not written explicitly. So the Gemara says a big hadush over here. Isura be'alma, or isura be'alma Rashi, hadeka maiti. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after they get wide in Rashi. Hadeka maiti bechulu azara bekal vachomer leisura be'alma kamar velo lemalkut. You're right. Rabbi Shimon was not talking about malkut, by the way. Even though Rabbi Shimon said malkut, lav davka, he meant these items. If you do them, you're going to get an isur. You're going to get an avon. Not that you're going to get lashes. You can't get lashes. You're right. These items, if you do them, you're going to get tacked on a sin in the shamayim. Can we punish you for the sin? We can't punish you for the sin because there's no warning really. But it's enough that you don't need a warning to get a sin. And we're saying a hadush now, which means you need a warning to get malkut. But you don't need a warning. You could learn from a kavachomer for something to be forbidden. So that's what Rabbi Shimon said. So Kavzi Gavaran says, what are you talking about? How could you tell me that you're saying that it's only of Isur? Veha amar Rava. Rava clearly said, Zar. Zar is a stranger, right? A non-Kohen. She'achal mena ola lifnei zirika. Wow, there's a lot of avonot over here. He ate the korban ola before the sprinkling of the blood. Chutz lachoma, outside the wall. Attack that on as well. The Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon that learned this whole pasuk, loke hamesh. Clearly, you get 5 sets of lashes, which means we'll see exactly what the 5 are. But the question is obvious. Lava, when he was learning the Rabbi Shimon, he learned them from Malkut. Because he clearly says, if a guy eats a non-Kohen, eats a Korban Ona, before Zedikah, outside the Choma, you're going to get 5 sets of lashes, even though all these Isurim were derived based on Kal Vachomer. So you can't tell me that the Rabbi Shimon was talking about just Isurim. Rava didn't learn that. Now look at Rashi. Zar she'achal min ha'ola davka zar ka'amar. Okay, we're specifically talking about a zar, a non-Kohen, because we want to tack on an extra avon, right? So it says ve'af agav de Kohen legabe ola zaru. Even though when it comes to korban ola, everybody's a zar, because nobody can eat a korban ola. Even a kohen cannot eat a korban ola. Hacha zar dafka amar. Here we're specifically talking about a zar, the e kohen. Because if you're going to learn the case, you're talking about a kohen. Batzar lehad lav. You're going to be missing one lav, and therefore he wants to tell you this 5. The hamesh the kama. Now he's going to list you them. What are the 5? Had mishum chutz lachoma. Okay, first of all, you ate outside the wall. The ate bekal vachomer b'maaser. That we never bekal vachomer b'maaser. Good. The had mishum lefnei zirika. Okay, ate before the sprinkling. The ate bekal vachomer b'toros shlamim. The had mishum zar gamur afilu lachal zirika. Right? Even if it was after zirika, a stranger cannot eat the korban at all. The ate bekal vachomer b'bechor. The koshken lefnei zirika. The most before zirika. The had mishum ochel chutz lekelaim. And he ate outside the. They're the walls. The atik b'kavam mechatat v'asham. The had mishum ochel ola. And the 5th one is the obvious one. Eating the ola in general. Even if he was a kohen. V'afilu kohen u'b'tocha kelaim. V'koshken zar. חוץ קלעים וחוץ לחומה אמר לקוי חמש. So therefore, she listed for us the five different Isurim that was all learned again based on Kav HaChomers of Rabbi Shimon. So how could you tell me that, oh, it only means Isur? It only means Isur. It's not Isur. Rava says, Malkut. Gemara says, no, don't learn like that. Gemara says, Gemara says, Gemara answers, the Rabbi Shimon Lokeh Chamesh, Gemara answers, Hamisha, Isurin, Havu. Same answer. When he said five Malkuyot, he didn't mean five Malkuyot. Don't get hung up on the word Malkuyot. Malkuyot is a loose way of saying five sins. The way you make a sin, say a sin is a Malkut, but you're not really getting Malkut. It's just five Averot. As she says, two lines at the bottom, Mishum Hamishem Malkuyot, come on. V'lo Nelkot Alehem. Not that you can actually get the Malkut. It's Lav Davka. These are hard answers over here, because they're using the word Malkut, and you're coming along and saying, it's Malkut, but it's not Malkut. It's Isurim. Yeah, we're forced to answer these answers, because again, we're stuck with the question. You can't punish from a, you can't give a warning from a Kavaromer. So we have no lashes is a machloket on Sheen Menadin, but without an Azara, it doesn't even start. So for sure, you cannot give lashes without an Azara. But wait, comes the Gemara and says, that she cut five. That she cuts five. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'anantinan." What are you talking about? You just want to tell me, and we accept it. There's no Malkut in these things. These five items, there's no Malkut. It's just Isurim. The only problem is you forgot the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Ve'anantinan Eluhen Halokin. By the way, that's the name of this perek. This perek is Eluhen Halokin, and that's the way the Mishnayot begin. These are the people that get Malkut. And then the next Mishnayot give us a whole list of people that are subject to Malkut.
The city around the wall.
That was one of them. One of the Isurim was what? Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Bikurim, if you ate the Bikurim before you did the reading, the Mishnah said Malkut. Well, what are you talking about? How could you give Malkut over there? There's no warning on this item. The warning came from a Kavahomer. And now Mishnah Kili says Eluhin Halokin. Now, you can't tell me in the Mishnah. No, it meant Isurim, because the Mishnah said Elohen Alokin. This is talking about the Malkut. And not only that, but one of the cases of the Mishnah was if you eat Kodshe Kodashim, if you eat Korbanot outside the wall, that was one of the lists in the Mishnah. Malkut, what are you talking? That's only derived from a Kal Vachomer based on the Bishimon's Derasha. So now you're stuck. How are you going to tell me Elohen Alokin? So the Gemara comes up with a new answer. Gemara says, Ela Kera Yeterahu. Forget about Kal Vachomers. Take Kal Vachomers away. The whole Pasuk, this Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon is Doresh, the whole Pasuk is superfluous. The whole Pasuk is extra. Why? Rashi, top line. Kera Yeterahu. Hai Kera Dolotukha Le'echo Dekamanu Le'kulu Begave. This Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon learned all his dinim from the Mechti. Ketiv Le'elmini. Right before the Pasuk, it says, Ve'avetem Shama. Says, and you will bring over there, I'm reading the pasuk for you now, Odotechem, Vezimchechem, Ve'et Marcelotechem, Ve'trumat Yedchem, Ve'edrechem, Ve'edbotechem, Ve'kort Berchechem, Ve'surchem. The pasuk right before lists all the same exact items. Now, why would the pasuk again have to repeat, Lo tuchal le'echol b'sharecha, you cannot eat the following things outside the wall, and then list all the seven items again? The Pasuk already listed those items in the Pasuk before, so the next Pasuk should just come and say, these items that we just mentioned, the aforementioned items, don't eat outside the wall. Why would it have to repeat all of them again? So Rashi says, Demechti, second line of Rashi, Ketiv le'ilminet, it says right before the Pasuk of Rabbi Shimon, Vabetem Shamba, V'chulluhu b'aykera ketiv. All these items are listed in that Pasuk. Lichtov batre lo tuchal le'ochlam b'sha'arecha. That's the person who said, don't eat these items outside. Im al chutz lachoma ba'lazir. If that's what the person was coming to teach me. Oh, from the fact that it listed it again in specific each item, must be it's coming to tell us chedushim on each item. Which means it's in enu enyan. if I cannot, I don't need it for the deen of lo tukal lekol b'sha'arecha, because it's extra, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly why it's extra. So therefore, it must be coming to teach me things outside of the law. The Gemara is going to explain it now. Gemara says, "Mechti." Let's analyze. And we stop. Ketiv, it says, "Va'avetem shama." That's the pasuk I just quoted to you. That's the pasuk before Rabbi Shimon. Alotechem, zvachem, asotechem, etc. Va'achatem sham, lefnei Hashem elokechem. Now, what does the pasuk say clearly? You have to eat these items lefnei Hashem. Where is that? In Jerusalem. That means shelamim, maaser sheni, bikurim, korbanot, neder, nedaba, bechor. So therefore, if you want to tell me a lot ta'ase, now you told me positive. You must eat it in Jerusalem. You have to eat it lefnei Hashem. The next pasuk should just tell me lichtov rachmana lo tuchal leochlam. It should just say, do not eat them b'sha'arecha, in your gates. That would have been sufficient. Why then did Torah have to come along and say, don't eat them in your gates? This one and this one and this one and this one. We know the cases you're talking about. You listed all the cases already. So there's a lot of extra wordage in the pasuk. So therefore the Gemara comes along and says, mehedar mefaresh behu rachmana lamali. Why would the Torah have to go repeat all these items again? Lo tuchal lechol b'sha'arecha, ma'asad lecharecha, troshecha, yisarecha, kol mecharecha, sorecha, kol derecha, shidur, b'motecha, t'vajadecha. Ela must be liyachude lehu lave lechol had v'had. It must be coming to designate an extra isur for each one of these items, which means it's as if the Torah is coming to write an additional lav for each of these items, which means lo tuchal, don't eat b'sha'arecha, all these items. Why do you have to tell me these items? I know that from the last pasuk, because the pasuk didn't have to write it so explicit. So that we have a rule, im eno anyan, if it's not used for what we need it for chutz l'Yerushalayim, so now it's free. Tenau enyan l'isur acher, we can use it for something else. Oh, so now we stop. What's the something else? Well, bikurim, the fact that you wrote it again. So I obviously, the Torah is coming to tell me now anu hadush. What's the new hadush Torah is coming to tell me? That by bikurim, you're going to be chayav malkut if you eat it before the kriyah was made. And then we go to the next item. This is going to teach me if you eat it before Zirika. This is going to teach me if you eat it outside the walls. And this is going to teach me if you eat it at all by the Qurban Ola. Now, look at Rashi. Mehdar Pirushe Bekulhad Lamali. Why does it have to repeat each one of these cases already? It's written in the aforementioned Pasuk. Shma'amina Yehude Lav. It's coming to teach me a new isur for each one. Ki'ilu chozer. Here's the key line of Rashi. Ki'ilu chazar v'chatav b'chol echad lav dechutz lachoma. Which means like this. A big chadush that's being said here. Since all these words are extra, it's as if it says by each one of these items, don't eat it outside the wall. But I don't need it for eating it outside the wall. Because already I know that from the last Pasuk. Pasuk said you have to eat it in Jerusalem. If the Pasuk just wanted to tell me don't eat it outside Jerusalem, it could have said, these items that we just said, lo tochelem, period, two words. From the fact that it said, lo tuchal lecho b'sha'arecha, ma'asad lecharecha, toshcha, b'sha'arecha. So therefore it's as if each one of these items is being written, lo tuchal, don't eat, don't eat. But it's teaching me a new chidush. Don't eat bikurim before you do the reading. Nothing to do with outside the wall. Outside the wall already, I know. But it's coming to teach me something different than that. So now once already, it's as if it says a special lo ta'aseh, it's explicit now. Lo tuchal, do not eat it. So therefore, now you can get malkut. Now already the asara is as if it's written.
Warning.
The warning is written. Oh, so therefore we go back and say, oh, they're really... Yes, the whole derashav of the Kal Vachomer is out. We're revamping the derashav of Rabbi Shimon. Till now we thought the whole thing was based on Kal Vachomer. Now we're going simple. The whole pasuk was extra. And therefore when it says, lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha, last one, bikurim, it means, do not eat bikurim. When? Don't it be kurim outside the wall? We're not for the last pasuk already. It says you have to eat in Yerushalayim. So Torah was just telling me that it could have wrote in a very short way. And the fact that Torah went in a big way must be telling me a new hadush. Don't eat bikurim. When don't eat bikurim? Don't eat it before you do the reading. Okay, beautiful. But it's not so simple what we're saying here, because Rashi throws out a very strong question. Starts off easy. Good. Ve'inach and all the other ones. Kol had ve'had lemilte ata. Good. And then each one, this one is going to be before the sprinkling, and this one is going to be outside the walls, and this one is going to be korban ola. Anybody eats it at all? Good. Problem is, v'im tomar bechol hakodashim ha'ketuvim kan dayecha im titen et alav inyan le'ochel lefne zericha bekulan chus mebekurim. Means like this. Let's start off with the Todan Shelamim. That's one of the items that are written in the Pasuk. So what are you going to say? Don't eat the Todan Shelamim outside Jerusalem. No, I don't need it for that. That already I know from the last Pasuk. So what is it saying? Don't eat the Todan Shelamim before you do Zerika. Okay, beautiful. I added a Isur, new Isur. Now, let's get to the Hatat and the Asham. Let's get to the next item. Hatat and Asham. What are you going to tell me? Again, it's not talking about eating it outside Jerusalem. Say, don't eat the Hatat ve'Asham also before Zerika. Rabbi Shimon didn't say that. Rabbi Shimon said when it came to Hatat ve'Asham, it's a suit to eat it even after the Zerika. How did he learn that again? From a Kal v'Chomer. Hatat and Asham is more strict. And therefore, if Todah is before, we're going to say that this is even going to be a suit after. Which means the derasha of Rabbi Shimon, when it came to Hatat ve'Asham, was to teach me that these items are going to be asur, even or outside the walls, or out even after Zirikat Adam. The only way you could learn after Zirikat Adam is you're going to have to go back to these Kal v'Chomers. Which means if you learn this way, I'll say it to you clearly. If you don't learn it this way, you know what? I'm going to read it to you in the easier lashon. So you're going to say, because this question is fundamental that she's asking. She says like this. Lekabet todah v'shelamim. By todah v'shelamim. You have an extra pasuk? No problem. It's coming to me malkut before zirikat adam. By bechor. What was the hadush of bechor? It's coming to teach me zar. That a stranger cannot eat the bechor. By hatat v'asham, if you eat it outside of the azara. By ola, the pasuk is coming to say it's asur to eat it at all. No problem. But as she comes along and says, "Legabe bikurim etodah v'shelamim," I understand Rabbi Shimon. It's coming to teach me malkut on bikurim lefne the kriyah, and it's teaching me etodah v'shelamim lefne zerika. She can end sorek lelmot isul achila chutz lachoma, which means since you don't need a pasuk for chutz lachoma, I can doresh it for something else. Ela legabe apiratim acharim sheba pasuk, but by all the other cases, bechor, chatat, asham, ola, that Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, if the pasuk is coming to tell me before Zerika, I don't need it. Kal v'chomer from todah v'shelamim. And the pasuk must be coming to tell me le'achar Zerika. What? You're back to kal v'chomer again. Which means Rabbi Shimon in his drasha originally said, okay, v'chatav Hashem, if it's coming to tell me before Zerika, I don't need a pasuk for that. Kal v'chomer from todah v'shelamim. Ela chatat v'Hashem and all that. So, but even after Zerika, wait. You're back to the same question then. These parts of the Pesukim that you learned after Zidika is based on a Kal v'Chomer. Once it's based on the Kal v'Chomer and Mazirin, Menadin. And therefore you're stuck. Therefore you're back to the same question. And therefore these items over there, you should not be getting Malkut. And then how come it clearly says that you're going to get Malkut on these items? Because the Mishnah said, if you eat Kodshei Kodashim, which means even after Zidikat Adam outside the Choma, you're going to get Malkut. Wait, the only way to be sure can derive that is from a Kal v'Chomer and Mazirin min Adin. That's Rashi's question. So Rashi comes along and answers. Rashi answers. In a chinameh. You're right. It's a good question, he says. You're right. Uma'ita diktani lokin. And Amishnah that said you get Malkut in these items. Be'achol kodshe kodshim chosa kelaim. I have a different pasuk. Le'basar basadeh terefa. Lo tochelu nafka. Oh, new story. There's another pasuk we found in the Torah that teaches me if you eat a korban hatat even after zrikat adam outside of the wall, you're going to get a isur. But if you're relying on Rabbi Shimon, you're not going to get it, because from Rabbi Shimon, these items are, you need to still the kavah homer. Again, I'm explaining to you why. I want to get this point clear again. According to Rabbi Shimon, the whole pasuk is extra. Because the pasuk before it tells me all these items. So if you just tell me don't eat the outside the wall, just say lo tochelem chutz lachoma. Finished. Very simple. So the fact that it says do not eat these items, list them all. Oh, new hadushim for each one. Don't eat bikurim before you do the reading. No problem. Give him malkut. So I can set a special lav over there. What else you got there? Don't eat the korban and korban todav shelamim. Don't eat it before you sprinkle the blood. Okay, that's a good one. Then what does he say to Bishamon? Chatat v'asham. What does it come here to teach me? Well, before the sprinkling, kavachomer from todav. Oh, kavachomer. So what does it come here to teach me then? Chatat v'asham. Even after. Wait, so then you're learning after Zerika is a Kavahom, so you're back to the same question. It's against Emma Zerim and Adin. So then she says, you're right. How do you know that Kadashim that you eat after Zerika, Chutzta Choma, another Pasuk I found, Basab, Sadeh, Terefa, Lotochedu. And I'm going to wait to explain that Pasuk until the Gemara explains it as it's coming up. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, Gemara says, Gufa. Now we go into one specific case. How does a Gufa work? Whenever you see the word Gufa, Gufa means we had this statement already presented to us before. Now we're going to bring it back, we're going to isolate it, and we're going to analyze it. Which means, whenever you see a Gufa, the statement should be familiar to you. That's something already that you learned already, but now that the Gemara is going to develop it. Gufa! Amarava, Zar she'achal min ha'ola lefnei zirika chutz lachomad rabbi shimon nokeh hamesh. Oh, we're familiar with that statement. We just read it. Rava said, Azar, that eats before the Chomar Ola, outside the Chomar, before the Zirika, bring him five. Now again, it's not five Malkoyot really. It's going to be five Isurin based on it. Oh, that's the Gemara's question now. Gemara's question is, what are you talking about? Why did you only say five? Why did you only say five? Velilkename mishum vezar lo yuchal ki kodeshem. Torah comes along and says that a zar, stranger, a non-kohen, he's not allowed to eat korbanot. Why can't he eat korbanot? Because that gives us a reason. Ki kodeshem, because it is kodesh. What is implying over here? That anything that's kodesh, a zar cannot eat. Is olah kodesh? Of course it's kodesh. So therefore, we found another item, number six. So the Gemara answers, Hani mili heka dele kohanim haze, hacha dele kohanim name lo haze. Which means, the pasuk is saying like this. I'm reading you the whole pasuk now. Ve'achilu otam Aaron ubanav, asher kupar bahim. Which means, who can eat the korban? Aaron and his children. But you, Mr. Zar, you non-kohen, do not eat it. So the Gemara says, wait. When is the Zar Hayav? Only when Aharon's Kohen's family can eat it. When it's viable for Aharon, then the Zar has this Isur. But a Korban Olah, then even the family of Aharon cannot eat. So therefore there's no special Isur on the Zar. The Zar Isur applies when it's applicable to Aharon. But if Aharon can eat, so there's no Isur on the Zar, because we're connecting two parts of the Pesukim. It says, and the Kohanim will eat it, and the Zar will not eat it. Ah, when the Kohanim can eat it, the Zar cannot eat it. But when the Kohanim cannot eat it anyway, there's no special Isur on the Zar. Korban Olah, can a Kohen eat it? No, that's why Rabbah did not count this Pesuk. The Gemara says, oh yeah? It's okay, we found another Pesukim that he should be Hayav on. Velil Kenameh, he should be Hayav Malkut. Mishum, our pasuk that we just quoted, Ubasar basade terefa lo tochelu. Now, this pasuk over here is not talking about korbanot. This pasuk is talking about basar terefa. What's terefa? The animal, let's say, was trounced on by another animal, and it became slaughtered by another animal. Animal's terefa. You don't have to eat a basar terefa, even though it's dead. Even though nevela is where you slaughtered it and it came out the wrong way. Here, when the animal has a blemish, because it was wounded by another animal, it's a terefa. So the Gemara says, Now, can I ask you a question? If the pasuk was just telling me you cannot terefa meat, why does it say ubasar basadeh? Well, and if it's in your backyard, you're allowed to eat a terefa? What's the sadeh got to do with anything? Only in the field terefa is asur? That word sadeh is superfluous. Oh, from the fact that the Torah threw in that word sadeh, it's coming to teach me hadush. Kevan chiyasa basar. Which means, we don't know where hadush. Sadeh means in the field, as opposed to in the walls. Mm-hmm. So we're learning over here. Once a piece of meat of korban left the walls, it becomes forbidden. Even though you bring it back into the walls. Once it goes out, but sadeh, terefa. It's out of bounds. It's like a terefa. Yeah, Rabbi, I brought it back in. Too late. Once it's out, it's out. Ubasar basadeh. Once basar of a korban went into the sadeh, meaning left the walls, terefa. No good. It's like a terefa. Oh, so we have another isur over here. Back to our story of Rava, the Zar. Where did he eat the Korban Ola? Outside the walls. Why don't you tack on this new isur over here, number 6? Kabbalah says back to the same answer. Hani mile hecha de bifnim hazeh. Hecha de bifnim nameh lo hazeh. When do we say that the out of bounds Korban is Asur? When if it was in bounds, it would be permissible. However, when it comes to Korban Ola, even in bounds, it's Asur, because it's Korban Ola, so this Isur doesn't apply. The Isur only applies that if it goes out, it's Asur, because if it was in, it would be visible. But in this case, even when it was in, you weren't allowed to eat it. So therefore, this Isur does not have application. That's going to be basically the answer to all these questions. We're going to throw on a new Pasuk, the Gemara say, Ola is different, Ola is different. Gemara says, Velil Kinameh, we have another one. Kedarabi Eliezer. Okay, what's the B Eliezer? The Amar B Eliezer. This is talking about notar. We have a law that says you're not allowed to leave the korban overnight. So it says, let's say you pass the time. Well, I shouldn't say overnight, because some korban you have 2 days and one night. You have a different time span for each korban. So once you pass that time, what does the pasuk say? Lo ye'achel ki kodesh hu. It says, do not eat the item. You know why you shouldn't eat the item? Because it is Kodesh. Now why is it Torah have to give me a reason? Just say, don't eat it. What do you mean, don't eat it because it's Kodesh? Ela, the Torah is coming to teach me Hadush. Kol shebe Kodesh pasul. That anything that is Kodesh has a specific isur. Ba'katuv liten lo ta'aseh al achilato. Which means, it's coming to say like this. Anytime you have Kodesh that became pasul, you can't eat it. Not only notar, anytime Kodesh has a psul, it becomes unedible. Take the Korban Ola, our story. It left the Choma. Oh, left the Choma, it becomes unedible. And the pasuk says that anything that's Kodesh that becomes pasul, lo yachel. Also, you get this isur as well. Kabbalah okay, answers the same answer. Hani mili hecha de kodim pesul lo chazeh. Haka de kodim pesul lo nameh lo chazeh. That's only talking that before it was pasul, you were able to eat it. But in this case of the Korban Ola, even before the pasul, you can't eat it because it's Korban Ola. So this issue doesn't apply as well. So you want to find another one. This is the last one the Gemara is going to answer. Velil kenameh ki idach de Rabbi Eliezer. We found another shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Netanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. This is talking about over here, Minhat Kohen. The mincha that the Kohen brings. It says, Kalil tiye. Should all go to God, lo te'achil. Do not eat the mincha, only the mizbeah. Put the korban on the mizbeah. Now, from the fact, the Gemara learns, kol shu kalil tiye. Which means, anything that's supposed to be put on the mizbeah, kalil, not only the mincha, including a korban ola, that's also kalil. Has the same. It's like a korban. It's like a mincha. And what is the pasuk saying? Kalil tiyeli ten lo taase al echilato. Anything that's kalil, anything that has to be kudlo ala mizbeah, lo te'akeh. Do not eat it. And now you can't answer me. Ola is different. No, this is ola. This is the same case. So Gemara answers, in hache name. You're right. Count this one on the list. This is number 6. But Rava, promise you only said 5. So he says, Rava, mehai kera ka'amar. He meant to say, I meant 5 from the one pasuk of Rabbi Shimon. Yeah. Of course you got other Isurim from other places. I would just say from that one person that Mishmon said Azar and outside the wall and before Zirikah and after Zirikah and all that stuff. That's 5 from one Pasuk. You found me another Pasuk somewhere else? Baruch Abba. I'm not arguing on that. That's included. That's number 6. Now the Gemara starts a new piece. Amar Rav Gidal. Amar Rav. Okay, Siman Kuza. Okay, we read the Siman. Kohen she'achal mechatat ve'asham lefne zirika loke. Okay, we can accept that. It's easy halakha. A Kohen that eats from the chatat and the asham, even though he's allowed to eat from chatat and asham, but he preempted. He jumped the gun. He ate before zirika, before they sprinkled the blood in the mizbeach. Okay, so we're going to give him the malkut.
Before the blood.
Before the blood was sprinkled, the Amar Kera, because the Pamay Tama, the Amar Kera pasuk says, the Achilu Otam Asher Kupar Bahem. They'll eat it when there is kapara. Now, when is the kapara of a korban? Lehar kapara im. Only after the kapara does it become edible, and that's only after zirikat hadam. Lefne kapara lo, but before the kapara, you cannot eat it. Now, very strange. You only get malkut on a negative commandment. You don't get malkut on a positive commandment. This is a positive commandment. So I'm saying, and you shall eat it after this kapara. That's a positive. How then could you give me malkut on a positive? The Gemara says, Hiddush, lav haba mechlal aseh lavu. Any mitzvat aseh that has an implication to a lot ta'aseh is like a lot ta'aseh. You read the pasuk. You must eat it v'achilu otam asher kupar b'hem. What's the implication? Don't eat it beforehand. So even though it was written in the positive way, the implication is to the negative, and therefore it's a negative. So sometimes you're going to have positive commandments that are really negative commandments.
It's counted as a
negative.
In the list of,
put it as a negative, because this is a negative commandment. Why did Torah write it in a positive way? That's a good question. Why didn't he just say, don't eat it? Good shayla tova. I don't have the answer to that now. But the Torah is clearly saying that even though it's written, eat it after kapara. Implying what? Don't eat it before kapara. So therefore it's a lot said. The Gemara says, wait, mativ rava. Because once you start with this,
then you finish.
Then you're opening yourself to a lot of questions. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, let's talk about kosher animals. It says, "V'chol behema mefreset parsa v'shusa atchesa shetef erasot ma'alad gera bebehema ota tochen." Those are kosher signs: split hooves and chewing its cud. What does the Torah say? Eat it. Now stop right there. What's the implication? This eat. The other stuff,
don't eat.
Oh, so this is also a lot ta'aseh. So Gemara says, ota tochelu, ve'en behema acheret tochelu, but don't eat any other type of animals. Ve'ikad de kama, but if it's quite the way you teach me that you make that implication, etze lo tochelu lamali. Why does the next pasuk have to come and say, and these don't eat? You don't got to tell me don't eat. I know that already from the positive. Every time you tell me a positive, I can derive the negative. So in this case of it, you don't need. That's the Gemara's question.
And they don't answer.
So the Gemara, says, Ela, you're right. So therefore, you're right. We take it back. You're not getting Malkut on that case of the Zar. The Zar that ate, not the Zar, the Kohen that ate the Korban before Zerikah. You can't give him Malkut because of this technicality. It's a positive commandment. And we're not going to say it's a positive. That becomes a negative. Leave that. Change the statement. Do over. Ela'i itmar, achi itmar. If you want to make the statement, say it like this. Amarav gidal amarav. New story. Zar. All right, but we changed it. We're talking about a Kohen. Now we turned him into a Zar. She'achal mechatad ve'asham nefne zirika patur. Wow. We changed everything here. We turned him into a Zar and we changed the deen. If he eats a hatat that Hashem kodem zirika, he is indeed patur. My ta'ama, for the same reason we just said, the amar kera ve'achilu otam asher kupar b'ayim. That the Kohanim only eat the korban at the time of the kapara. Kol hecha de karinan be ve'achilu otam asher kupar b'ayim. Only in a situation where it's possible that you can get kapara. Karinan be bezar liyuchal ki kodeshim. Then we say that a zar cannot eat it, which means a zar cannot eat it only after it's shayach to kapara. That means when the Kohanim are allowed to eat it, the zar is forbidden to eat it. When is the Kohen allowed to eat it? After the zirika. Then the zar law kicks in. But so long as they can't eat it, because there's no kapara yet, because it's before zirika, lo karinam be zar lo yuchal. So therefore the zar law doesn't apply either, but again, it's not a lo ta'aseh. It's just a positive. So if it's a positive, you can't give the zar malkut. Is he going to get an isur? You get an isur, but you can't give him the malkut. So comes the Gemara and says, new story. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Bikurim. Okay, back to the story of Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Every year you have to take from the seven fruits of Eretz Israel, and you have to put them in a basket, you have to take them up to Yerushalayim, you have to give, present it to the Kohen. There's two mitzvot over here. Number one is you have kiri'ah, you have to make a recitation, Arami Oved Abi, like it's written in Parashat Ki Tavo, and also you have a mitzvah of v'nachto. You have to place the bikurim in front of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, bikurim hanacha me'akevet ba'em, kiri'ah en me'akevet ba'em. Okay, Rabbi Elazar says clearly, the main item of the bikurim, not like our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says the main item is the hanacha. Even though you didn't read yet. So long as you placed it down, even though you didn't read yet, the Kohen can eat it. But if you didn't place it down yet, it becomes forbidden. Hanaha is the ikar, not the kriya. Umi amar, Rabbi Elazar akhe? Did indeed Rabbi Elazar say that? Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rabbi Hoshaya, hifrish bikurim kodem lehag. Let's say a guy, he separated his bikurim before Sukkot. Whenever it says hag, hag is Sukkot. And now what happened? Sukkot passed. He didn't bring them yet. He separated them, but he didn't get to the Beit HaMikdash after Sukkot. Yirkebu. He has to let the fruits spoil. My love. Why do you have to let them spoil? Bring them after Sukkot. My love, Mishum, de lo matzeh lemekre alehem. Because after Sukkot, you're not allowed to make the recitation. Why can't you make the recitation after Sukkot? When you bring Bikurim after Sukkot, why can't you say this whole business over here? So it says like this. In the recitation it says, V'samachta b'chol atov, Asher natan Hashem Elohecha, Asher natan lecha Hashem Elohecha. You can only read the recitation b'makom or b'zman simcha. That's on the holiday. However, after zman simcha, you can't say V'samachta b'chol atov. So therefore, after Sukkot, there's no reading. So now let's figure it out. Rabbi the Ezer set a rule. After Sukkot, let the Bikurim rot.
Because you can't read.
He didn't say that, but we're saying. Must be why? Because you can't read. But what do you mean? According to you, the reading is not the item. The main thing is the anaha. So you want to ask. The Isal Kadadah Kiriya en me'akivet b'hem amayir kibu. If you tell me that the kiriyah is not mandatory, so why are you letting them spoil? Bring them up, don't read. Big deal. Put them next to the mizbeach, and then you're covered. So the Gemara over here gives a very important rule. I'm going to tell you the rule outside. This rule repeats itself in Shas all over the place. And that rule is, Kol hara'uy nibila bila me'akevet. In bila ma'akevet. Kol she'en ra'oy lebila, bila ma'akevet. What is this? What is bila? What is ma'akevet? So explanation is like this. We have a mitzvah to bring a mincha. You bring a mincha. How do you bring the mincha? A few ingredients. Flour, oil. And then mix. Bidula b'shemen le mincha. You have to mix it. Now, how much oil do you have to bring? Let's say you have to bring a log shemen, a certain shi'ur. Now, how much flour do you bring? So, the Hakamim tell us, up to a shi'ur of 60 esaron with a log of shemen, it'll mix nicely. Once already you have 61, it's not going to mix nicely. You have to put it in two separate kelim. Okay? That's the rule. That's the cutoff point. 60, 61. 60, it'll mix nicely. 61, doesn't mix nicely, but in separate cups. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Halakha says, even if you didn't mix it at all, it's kasher. So what do I care? Even 61, put it in one keli and bring it. Because even if you don't mix it, it's okay. What do you tell me? Oh, it doesn't mix good. Don't mix it. You don't have to mix it. So the Gemara says, you're right, you don't have to mix it. But it has to be ra'ui to mix. Exactly, it has to be mixable. Potentially able to be mixed. So I have 60. You don't have to mix it. Because I can mix it. If I want it, I can do it. If it's sketchy like this. However, when it comes to 61, you can't mix it. Separate kelim. Let's say the saying now. Kol hara'ui libila, something that's bila means bilila. Kol hara'ui libila, anything that's ra'ui to mix, and bila ma'akev. Then the mixing doesn't matter. You don't have to mix it. Kol she'enu ra'ui libila, but something that's not ra'ui to mixing, bila ma'akevet. Now already it's a problem. So we're going to say the same concept by here. Rabbi Eliezer holds, you don't got to read, by the way, but it has to be potentially able to read. So therefore, when you bring it after Sukkot, when you bring it before Sukkot, you don't got to read, because potentially I can read. So the reading, it doesn't matter. Just put it in front of Hashem and you're okay. But after Sukkot, you don't have the ability to read. Oh, that's already worse. You don't even have the potential. So right, the reading expired. So therefore, now already have a problem. Now let it spoil. So really, to be the Ezer is consistent. The main item is the Hanaha, but you need a potential of reading. I'll read that inside now. Kedir Rabbi Zera, Deamar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera taught Kol Haraui LeBila. Bila, I told you, is Bilila, is the mixing of the Menha and Bila Me'akevedlo. Then you don't even have to mix it. V'chol she'en ra'ui lebila, bila me'akevet bo. You know what? Just so we get this concept crystallized, let's read the Rashi over here. The Rashi's right in the center of the daf there. You see, da'amar kol ra'ui lebila, right over here in the center Rashi. B'mesechet Menachot, Tenan, Hare alai shishim ve'ehad esaron. Guy says, I want to bring 61 esronim to the Beit HaMikdash. Mevi shishim b'chli ehad, v'had b'chli acher. Bring 60 in one keli and one in another keli. V'ad shishim yukhulim libaler b'chli ehad. Right. In one keli you can mix 60. Ava shishim v'ehad kimnu rabbanan de'enan elim yafet. But the rabbi said 61 in one keli, it's not going to work. V'avin haba v'chi eran ibdarlin, even if they don't mix good. Ma'avi, what's the difference? V'anan tenan im lo balal kasher. V'meshani rebizra kol ra'u lebila em bila ma'akevet bo. Okay? That's Shita. Okay, let's go one more piece. Okay. So what did we learn until now? We learned until now Hanaha is the main item. According to the Bina Ezra. Hanaha is the main item. Now the Gemara is going to say other rabbis also agree to the Bina Elazar. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov matnila k'derabbi ase amar Rabbi Yohanan. That what? He learned in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. V'kashaled Rabbi Yohanan ad Rabbi Yohanan. Which means he learned what we just learned about Hanaha, and we learned in the name of Rabbi Elazar. He learned in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. Okay, no problem. Rabbi Yohanan's Hanaha is the main item. Only thing is, by doing that, he saw a contradiction now from Rabbi Yohanan to Rabbi Yohanan. Why? What else did Rabbi Yohanan say? ומי אמר רבי יוחנן בקורים הנחה מעכבת בהם קריה אין מעכבת בהם. Did רבי יוחנן indeed say that the main item is the הנחה, not the קריה? ואבא מיני רבי עשה עם רבי יוחנן. רבי עשה once asked a question to רבי יוחנן. בקורים, this is a rabbi, בקורים מאה מתי מותרים לכהנים? from when do they become permissible to the Kohanim? Amar Leis Rabbi Yochanan says, Hari'uyim Likiriya, which means when you bring the Bikurim between Shavuot and Sukkot, were you able to make the reading? Because it's Zman Simha, that's when people are taking their fruits from the field and they're harvesting, it's a happy time. Mishikana Alehem, pen ready, you have to read. V'she'en Ru'im Likiriya, if it's brought after Sukkot, meaning the time when there's no Simha anymore, Mishina'u Pnei Abayit, bring them into the Azara, bring them next to the Mizbeah. Now over here, like, right, you have two contradictions. Because Kashya Kiriya Akiriya, you told me in your first statement of Yohanan that what? Hanacha is the item. Then you tell me over here, Kiriya is the item. Make up your mind. Is it Hanacha or is it Kiriya? Kashya Hanacha, Hanacha. And you have a Stida as well. Because Rabbi Yochanan said it's Hanacha, and then when he answered the question, he said, if it's so, if it's Kiriya, it's Kiriya. What time? When Rabbi Yochanan made his statement, he didn't. His original statement was just blanket. He said, the main item is Hanacha. He didn't tell me Sukkot, before Sukkot, Hanacha. Then all of a sudden, when Rabbi Yose asked him a question, he said, Rabbi Yose asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, Rabbi, what's the item with the Bikurim? When is it Me'akev? He said, depends. Depends. You brought it before Sukkot, between Shavuot and Sukkot, then you got to make a Kiriya. You got to make a Kiriya. You just told me Hanacha is the item. And when you bring it after Sukkot, then already Hanacha is the item. And no Kiriya. So make up your mind. Kasha, Kiriya, Kiriya. Kasha, Hanacha, Hanacha. Let's read Rashi. We have Rashi over here. Okay, now this is just Rashi says exactly what we said. So comes the Gemara and says, okay. Kiriya, Kiriya, La Kasha. You have those three now here. Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Ha, Rabbanan. Good. Which means that which Rabbi Yochanan said. That's Mashwa, that the Kiriya is Me'akev. We said between Shavuot and Sukkot, you got to do the reading. That's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we learned Rabbi Shimon right in the beginning of yesterday's daf. We said Rabbi Shimon is the opinion of our Mishnah, like Rabbi Akiva. Right? We said in the beginning, Matnitin Rabbi Akiva sti mata'a. So the Gemara said, you could have said it's Rabbi Shimon also. What does Rabbi Shimon know? That Kiriya is Me'akev. So that statement that was said in Rabbi Yochanan that the Kiriya is the item, that was going according to Rabbi Shimon. Deha, that which when he asked him the question of Aset Rabbi Yochanan, he told him Kiriya, Rabbanan. That's going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, which means one time he was explaining the according to the Bishimon, and one time he was explaining in the name of the rabbis. Which he himself, we don't know what he held. One time he was offering the opinion of the Bishimon, and one time he offered the opinion of the rabbis. However, he himself, we don't know what he said. So don't say he contradicted himself. Hanacha, Hanacha, Nami Lekasha. And when it comes to Hanacha, also no question. Originally you said Hanacha is the item. Then you tell me Kiriya is the item. Make up your mind. The one says Har Biuda Har Banan, which means that which he said that what Hanacha is not the item. When he said the Kiriya is the main thing, when he talked between Shavuot and Pesach and Sukkot, what did he say? Read. What do you mean? I thought you just said Hanacha is the item. Oh, that's going to the Biuda. We don't know what the Biuda is, by the way. We have to find the Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see Rabbi Yehuda in a second. Ha Rabbanan. And the other opinion that when Rabbi Yosei asked, Rabbi Yosei asked Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Hana'a is Me'akevet, that's going according to the opinion. But again, he didn't say two things that are contradictory. He just took two rabbis' opinions. Now, the last thing we have to figure out is over here, where do you see in Shas the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds Hana'a is not Me'akev? That the main thing is the Kiriya. Gemara says, "My Rabbi Yehuda, where do you see Rabbi Yehuda?" Netanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, guy brought the Bikurim. What does it say? You read. You did the reading. You did everything. Then what do you do? V'nachto. How would you explain V'nachto? Place it in front of the Mizbeah. He says, "No." Zu tenufa. This is talking about the waving, which means you have to, like we do the dulav on Sukkot, you have to wave it up and down and forward and back. to the four corners, yeah, no, the four places. Ata omer zut tenufa, or enu elah hanaham mash. Where'd you get tenufa from? Pasuk says v'nachto, you place it. And you come and tell me, oh, placing means up and down and. Kishu omer v'niho hare hanaha amur. Remember we learned yesterday? It says placing twice in the Torah. One time it says v'nachto. One time it says v'niho. V'niho means place it. So what does v'nachto mean? V'nachto is a different item. What is that? Hamani mekayem v'nachto zu tenufa. That's referring to tenufa. Oh, so wait. Once you learn this, see if you can figure this out. You learn from this, what is it, a braita, that according to the Bihuda, kriya is the main item and not hanacha. Where do you see this braita, anything that kriya is the main item and not hanacha? Because if you remember, according to the opinions that said hanacha is the main item, where did we learn it from? The fact that it says hanacha twice. When the Torah says something twice, it's trying to say, this is the main item. So it says, v'nachto, v'niho. But once you see the Bihuda uses v'nachto for tenufa, so it only says it once. Oh, that's not ma'akev. Ela must be the kiriyaz ma'akev. So once already he bypassed one of the v'nachtos to teach me something else, so then you don't have a derash anymore. Uman tana de padig aled Rabbi Yehuda. Who's the rabbi that argues on the Bihuda? There must be a rabbi there that argues on the Bihuda. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. What does he say? Eliezer ben Yaakov. Netanya, it says in the pasuk. Velakah haKohen atene miyadecha. The Kohen will take the basket of fruit from your hands. Limed ala bekurim shteonim tenufa. Devre Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He learns from this pasuk. What does it mean? The Kohen takes it from your hands. He puts his, we're going to see, he puts his hands under the hands of the person and he makes the tenufa. Oh, so he learns tenufa from somewhere else, from miyadecha. Therefore, he has the two vehim nachtos and vehim nicho available to teach me what? That it's me'akev. So everybody holds you have to do tenufa. Question is, where do you learn tenufa from? Now the Gemara says, my tamad Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Says, Rabbi, the pasuk says, v'dakah hakon atene miyadecha. Take it. The Kohen should take it from his hands. Where do you see tenufa? Just because you take it from him, which means he hands it off. Give the basket to the Kohen. Atya yad yad mishlamim. We have a gezerah shava. Yad yad by korban shelamim. Ketiv acha, it says by bikurim, v'lakach ha-Kohen atene yadecha. Uchtiv, and it says by shelamim, yadav tibienna etishe Hashem. Finish the pasuk, lehanif oto tenufa lehashem. By the pasuk over there by Shilamim, but it says Yad, it says you have to make a tenufa. They wave the korban Shilamim. So therefore, ma kan kohen af lealan kohen, which is just like by the bikurim, because it says v'lakach kohen. So too by Shilamim, we learn that the kohen takes the Shilamim and he makes the tenufa. However, ma lealan be'alim af kan be'alim. But by Shelamim it says the owner takes it. We have two pesukim. By Bikurim it says the Kohen takes it. Melakach Kohen. By Shelamim it says Yadav Tibienna. The owner takes it. So we make Yezirah Sheva both ways. We say like this. Just like by Shelamim. Sorry. Just like by Bikurim. It's the Kohen that's taking it. By Shelamim the Kohen has to take it. And just like by Shelamim it's the owner that takes it. So too by Bikurim the owner has to take it. Make up your mind. How do they both do Teruvah? So the Gemara says, "Haketzad, maniach kohen yadav ta'at yedei ba'alim u'meniv." The guy brings the bikurim like this, with his hands under the basket. The kohen sticks his hands under his hands, and they make the tenufah together. Which means, if I only had the pasuk by bikurim, I would say what? Give it to the kohen, let the kohen make the tenufah. But the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't even know tenufah. Doesn't say tenufah, give it to the kohen. Oh, but it says the word yad over there. Okay, let's go to Shelamim. Shelamim says the word Yad. Oh, wait, but it says Yad with Tenufa. Okay, good. By Shelamim, it says the Baalim do it. But by Bikurim, it says the Kohen. Ooh, so we're stuck. Okay, you know what? Both. How do you do both? Stick the hands underneath. Let's read the Rashi and finish this up over here.
That's the hadush of the Torah. That's not a hatzitsa. That's the whole point. That you would have thought, under his hands, together. We're both doing it.
Look at Hashim, the bottom. Ma la'alam ba'alim. The ba'alim ishtai dikhtiv yavit korbanot la'ashem izbach shalama v'samikhti yadav tibiyenna. But Shalimim is clearly going on the owner. Because talking about the guy that's bringing the korban. So you just linked the two peskim, yad yad. Yeah, but this is the owner. Okay, this is the owner also. But you just said it's the Kohen. Ela what? It is indeed both. Okay, I have a question over here. You want to have a question? Why don't you tell me? So you're asking the Tosafot's question, Jack. Tosafot asks, Hatzitza. The Kohen's hands are not touching the basket. The Kohen's hands are touching the guy's hands. So I want to say, he's holding on to the basket as well. It's not mamash underneath his hands, which means he holds the cup like this, and he leaves some space, and the Kohen puts his hands in between, so everybody's touching the basket. So there's no hatita.
Really
or on the side of the basket. That's one answer. But you're right, it's not mashman the Gemara. It's mashman the Gemara under. What's another answer? Another answer is. No, that's what I said. It's Gizrat Katuv. If the Torah is saying to do that, it's not a hatita. Torah says put his hands underneath. You're asking God's hatita. Hashem says to do that. You have to ask him to hatita. That's what God wants you to do. You can't ask hatita on that question over there. You can only ask hatita question where the Torah says, let's say, you have to shake a lulav on Sukkot. Okay, beautiful. That guy comes with gloves on and he's shaking the lulav. Oh, hatita, you're not touching the lulav or something like that. But if God says, okay, I want you to take the lulav with gloves on. Oh, hatita, Hashem says to take it with gloves on. You can't ask hatita the Torah. So Hashem says, put your hands under the hands. That's it. That's the Gizrat HaKatuv. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.